Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If all this craziness has you...
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Rob Brenton. How you guys doing today, man?
Doing well. Chilling like Matt Dillon. That's pretty much all I can do right now.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will have a brand new edition of Tinder Tuesday. And yet again, we have another example of when keeping it real goes wrong. But again, it is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Rob Brenton producing this thing, Tinder Tuesday, coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll also talk about Drake Kirkpatrick, who is available on the market. Is he somebody who would make a lot of sense for the Kansas City Chiefs? But I know this is something that I had been clamoring for, and I think a lot of people in Kansas City and around the country had been clamoring for as well. If you guys remember, ESPN and Netflix were working together on a 10-hour 90s Bulls documentary called The Last Dance, and it was scheduled to come in June around the time of the NBA Finals. Well, I hate to be the one to tell you, I don't think the NBA Finals are going to be happening in June this season. A lot of people were pushing for ESPN to bump up the release of The Last Dance, and officially today they have announced April 19th is when we will see the first two episodes of The Last Dance. So their plan is over a 5-week span, every Sunday they will release two more episodes to give us a 10-hour 90s Bulls documentary. Sean, I am very pleased.
So is it a Netflix thing or is it an ESPN thing?
They jointly are doing it. ESPN is making it, and they will distribute it over Netflix once it's done.
Okay, I think that all these streaming services should follow suit. It makes a lot of sense. Think about it. Right now, everybody's essentially forced to stay at home. Everybody's incredibly bored. They're jonesing for sports, and a bunch of people are probably watching more television right now than they have at any point in their entire lives, because at some point, there's just not a lot to do when you're stuck at home. So, yeah, I think that the same way that a lot of documentaries are going to get moved up, this makes a lot of sense. And I think this is going to do absolutely huge numbers. It would have anyways. I mean, if you talk about the most popular team, not just of my lifetime, but probably of anybody's lifetime, go back, those Michael Jordan Bulls. Everybody was going to watch this. Now with nothing else going on, everybody and their grandma is going to be watching this.
No, it's certainly going to get excellent ratings. I'm really excited for it. Those 90 Bulls, they were a phenomenon, and it really came at a time when we saw the explosion of sports with the internet and with cable. If you think about it, a lot of people around the country became Atlanta Braves games because you remember those great Braves teams of the 90s and TBS, where it didn't matter what market you lived in. If you had cable, you had the ability to watch one of the three best baseball teams at the time. The Bulls were the exact same thing. If you had regular cable, you were able to watch WGN, and that was certainly part of the spread of the 90s Bulls. Earlier today, Colin Cowherd on his show said this about the 1990 Chicago Bulls teams.
But I want to talk about those Chicago Bulls, and I believe they're the most beloved team in the history of my life and perhaps the history of the country. Really, we don't all love the Yankees when they're winning. Most people are now tired of Alabama. We really never got tired of the Bulls. We never did.
So that was Colin Cowherd earlier today on his show. The Bulls from the 90s have always intrigued me from this standpoint. For the most part, the American public hates when one team wins all the time. If you ask NFL fans who were your least favorite team, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, I think the number one answer would be the New England Patriots. When the Golden State Warriors were dominating and they had Kevin Durant, people weren't too fond of the dynasty that they had created. People hated the 90s Cowboys. People hated all these teams. The one dynasty that everybody seems to love, that everybody seems to be on the page on, is the 1990s Bulls. So I always push back when I hear people say, I don't like the NBA because the same team wins all the time. We saw the same team win in the NBA 6 out of 8 years in the NBA Finals, and that was when people believed that the NBA was in its absolute golden age in peak. The Bulls were able to transcend sports in such a way that they were the only lovable dynasty, I think.
Well, they also transcended it because they had the most transcended athlete in the history of the world. I think if you ask most people, hey, when you talk about the best athlete for his sport anytime, they're going to give you one of two answers, probably either Gretzky or Jordan. Most people are going to say Jordan. I'll push back a little bit when you talk about the popularity of the NBA when there's teams that are winning all the time. I think that the Golden State Warriors had a pretty long run of popularity. Now, toward maybe the last couple of years, and certainly when they added Kevin Durant, it was easy to not like them. But when they were going to their first two or three finals, I think people still like them. What about the Showtime Lakers with Worthy and Magic? I think people liked them for a while. So the Bulls people liked longer than these other dynasties. But I feel like the NBA is the one sport, as long as it's not an unlikable team. Like the Pistons, for example, they were an unlikable dynasty. The Spurs, they were a boring dynasty. If you've got Steph Curry, if you've got Jordan, we can watch you for a few years.
Yeah, I think people, but then they normally turn on them, and I don't know if that ever happened with the Chicago Bulls. You're right. It was cool to like the Warriors when they were the upstart, when they had the 6'1 kid from Davidson, and they had the kid you had never heard of from Klay Thompson. But by the fact we all knew them, we got tired of them winning. The Bulls might be the only team, because it happened really quick with the Patriots. Like, you say all those things about the Pats. Man, at one point, America loved the New England Patriots. They were the underdog dynasty. They had the greatest draft pick in the history of the NFL. They had the coach who had failed in Cleveland that came back. Remember after September 11th in the game against the St. Louis Rams. Like, America at one point loved the New England Patriots, but man, once they started winning too much, that's the thing. We like you when you win a little bit. We don't like you when you win too much. And you know what team could be the next up in that? The Kansas City Chiefs. If the Chiefs are going to have the success that you think they're going to have, and Mahomes is going to win 4 or 5 of these things, they will very quickly turn into the team that everybody hates. Right now, Mahomes is a lot of fun, and he is the must-watch thing in the NFL. But start winning too much, they eventually start to hate you.
Well, they've been to 2 AFC championship games since Pat's been the quarterback, and so, yeah, I don't think it's going to be too far until we can at least have that conversation. But the same way that people always love watching Jordan, I think people are going to always love watching Pat. I think he's one of those transcendent players. Well, people will not get sick of this Chiefs team. Now, eventually they will, and you're right. If you do what the Patriots did, and you go to 9 Super Bowls and, 14 AFC championship games in an 18-year period, then, yeah, you oversaturated the market a little bit too much. But if you're some of these other dynasties that were really good for a while, I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to have the success that the Patriots had. As good as I think Pat is, as good as I think the combination is with him and Andy Reid, very similar to Belichick and Brady, I'm not going to be the guy that comes on the radio and says they're going to go to 14 AFC championship games with Patrick Mahomes and 9 Super Bowls and win, what do you end up winning, 6 of them?
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to set all kinds of records. I think individually we might look back at Patrick Mahomes and say he's the best to ever play the position. I don't think they're going to have the team success of the Patriots. That's getting a little crazy.
I think when you think about it with Michael Jordan, he is probably sports' first worldwide superstar, at least in a basketball sense. You could probably find some people in other sports. Muhammad Ali, he certainly transcended.
Pele.
And he was a world. I don't know if Pele was ever as big in the United States as some of these other guys, but he certainly was bigger in other parts of the country. But when you think about it, we're talking about a basketball star in America. Michael Jordan might be the first transcendent worldwide star. Now, we've certainly seen guys post Kobe, LeBron. We've seen guys that have kind of transcended from a worldwide thing. And I think a lot of that is cable television, and a lot of that is the internet and the marketing. Like, you had the marketing giant, which is Nike, teaming up at one time with the greatest athlete potentially in the history of it. That was just a combination for it to explode in the way that it did. That I think if you're looking for the model of, we talk about, is X a superstar? Man, the superstar conversation in America really starts and begins with Michael Jordan.
That was before social media, though. Can you imagine how much bigger of a superstar Jordan would have been? Because we're talking about essentially the late 1980s. There wasn't social media for another 15 or 20 years. He would have been even bigger than he's become, and everybody knows Michael Jordan's face. And I think part of the way that you can judge just how popular and famous those Bulls teams were, people know the ancillary parts of that team. Like, yeah, we all know Jordan and Pippen, but everybody knows Horace Grant and B.J. Armstrong and Bill Winnington and Bill Cartwright and all Steve Kerr, all these different dudes. That should tell you just how good that team was. We don't just know the superstars. We know all those guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, that really is a big point when it comes to the Chicago Bulls of it wasn't just knowing the stars of the team. Like, we really knew the teams inside and out. We knew the coach. We knew everything, every single storyline about it. Like, they were maybe the first reality television show if we're talking about an individual team. Coming up, we'll talk about the NFL, and Dre Kirkpatrick got cut from the Cincinnati Bengals. Is he a corner possibility for the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we have yet another example of when keeping it real goes wrong. Plus, it is a Tinder Tuesday. We'll get to that, and we have a brand spanking new Levine's List. I just saw some breaking news that I would not be being true to myself if I did not share it with you. Dateline.com is announcing that they are starting a new Law & Order series with Elliot Stabler. Now, I don't know how much of a Law & Order guy you are, Sean Levine.
Not that big, but I'm a huge Dateline guy.
The first 13 seasons of Law & Order, it was Benson and Stabler. And then Stabler got in a little bit of trouble, so they had to write him off the show. He wanted to do Broadway plays and stuff, but now he's getting his own show. He's coming back. I'm so excited about this. That's my favorite team. You know how you talk about NBA Jam, and you were talking about Pippen and Horace Grant, like your favorite duos? Mm-hmm. Mahomes and Tyreek Hill ain't got nothing on OG Benson and Stabler. I mean, they solved every single crime that happened in Manhattan. If there was a crime going on in Manhattan, Stabler and Benson solved it in 1 hour. I always call Law & Order adult Scooby-Doo, because the beauty of Law & Order is whatever the crime is, they'll figure it out in 60 minutes, and then everything's going to go back to being fine. And then they'll restart the process next Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Dateline's actually got a better combo. What do you know about Lester Holt and Keith Morrison? I'm Keith Morrison. You know anything about Keith Morrison?
I don't know anything about Keith Morrison. He sounds like a drummer for an 80s rock band.
That probably Jim Morrison you're thinking of. You wouldn't know Keith Morrison if he walked in here.
No clue who that guy
Old dude with white hair and a deep voice, and he talks like
this.
You just
described Bill Grady.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
I mean, you didn't really give me a whole lot there. You said old guy, deep voice, white hair. You described Bill Grady. You described Scott Parks. You described a lot of people that I know.
You would know him by his voice. He's the guy that constantly goes, "But nobody in the house was alive. Or were they?" That doesn't help?
No, that doesn't really do much for me.
Can we move on?
Coming up, we will play another edition of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong, and we have a Tinder Tuesday. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you didn't. The NFL playoffs are expanding.
The contract gives owners the right to expand the regular season in 2021. It would be the first such expansion in more than 40 years. And the playoffs will grow from 12 teams to 14.
So the NFL playoffs are expanding. Right now, there are 6 teams in each conference that make it. They are expanding to 7 teams, and only the 1 seed will get a bye. This is all topics that we've covered before, but it is now official today. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really feel too strongly about this one way or the other. I didn't really live my life thinking that something was broken when it came to the NFL playoff system. There certainly are other things that I do think are broken in the NFL. The NFL playoff system wasn't really one of those things, but I have no issue and I have no problem with the expanding of the playoffs and making the first round of the playoffs a more enjoyable experience. Now, I am going to be curious to see how it waters down the league just a little bit, where it used to be somewhat hard to make the playoffs. There used to be you had to at least win 10 games to enter the NFL playoffs. Man, if you're going to make 3 wild card spots, it's going to be a lot of 9-7 teams that make it. It's going to be a lot of 8-8 teams over the course of this 10-year CBA that make the playoff. I am going to be curious to see how teams play it down the stretch. Last year, a team like Kansas City, are you going to continue down the stretch to play if you don't think that a bye is reasonable? Baltimore had the 1 seed wrapped up, what, week 11 of the NFL season, week 12 of the NFL season? But Kansas City kept playing because you still had that carrot to go out there and try to get the 2 seed. New England could still try to get the 2 seed. Houston could still try to get the 2 seed. If we're going to eliminate that and one team is going to go 14-2, 15-1 and have one of those great years, how does it affect the 2, 3, and 4 seeds that don't feel like they have a chance to get a bye? How are they going to play it down the stretch? I think those are some of the potential problems we could see with expanding the playoffs.
Well, there's two different type of teams that are going to be affected by the expansion. The best teams are going to get benefited. So if I said CDOT, over the next 10 years, what team do you think in the AFC is going to have the number one seed the most times? You'd probably say the Chiefs. Yeah, as of right now, right? I mean, of course, we're kind of busting, trying to figure out the future here. So that benefits the Chiefs because no team in theory would have the number one seed and have the bye more than Kansas City. So if you're amongst the elite, this helps you. And then if you're amongst the average, like you were saying, if you're an 8-8 football team, instead of picking middle of the draft, now you've got a chance to actually get in the playoffs and then make some noise. So it affects it. It's changed, but I'm with you. It's kind of like, remember when the NCAA tournament went from 64 to 68 teams? I didn't get really excited. I kind of went, okay, cool. It's a little bit more basketball to watch, some more stuff to gamble on. So I'm fine with it. If they wouldn't expand it, I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those things that, like, honestly, I just don't really have a super strong opinion when it comes to the playoffs, but that's now official. So the expansion of the playoffs is there, and we'll see what happens with the 17th game. That was not decided today, but the owners, they have the ability to do so within the next two seasons. I feel pretty strongly that the owners are going to expand the NFL regular season to 17 games. So there was a cut today. Dre Kirkpatrick, he was a first-round draft pick from the Cincinnati Bengals, played corner. He was released from the Cincinnati Bengals. You know where I am on this. I think they need to pick up a veteran corner. This is actually a player you would like.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if you want to go out and get a cornerback that's going to be cheap, this is your guy. Kind of like last year when the Chiefs got Mo Claiborne, it was a move to fill a hole. It was a warm body, a position that they needed. And now they're more desperate for cornerbacks, even more than they were last year when they signed Mo Claiborne. So I think this could work out, and Rob pointed out this is a Brett Veach type of guy where he's a former first-round draft pick, he's a veteran, and he's cheap. All of those things fit the bill. I actually think that of all the conversation that we've had about Chris Harris and this guy and that guy landing in Kansas City, I actually think there's a good chance Drake Kirkpatrick ends up a Chief.
I mean, I still think that Bashaud Breeland is probably the most likely, certainly seeing how the market and now another corner who I think is in that 1 year, maybe 2 year corner market is out there. So that certainly makes it a little harder for Bashaud Breeland to get the contract. You are right. I mean, these are the type of signings that we've seen. I think we have seen a tendency of Veach to go for guys that were former first and second round draft picks who tested and evaluated really well. And now your ability to get them on the cheap and bring them into your system and inundate them into your defense. So this certainly is one of those kind of moves. I'm not at the point of panic when it comes to the cornerback situation. I'd probably put it right now, for me personally, like a 4. I still think there's a lot of options out there, and Bashaud Breeland is still there when we're looking at who can be that veteran corner on the team. But this is the kind of name. You got Drake Kirkpatrick. You got Logan Ryan. You still got Bashaud Breeland. You got Prince Amukamara that's still out there. Tremaine Johnson. There's still 5 or 6 veteran corners on the market that you can just take your pick. I think they're all going to be in that 1 year prove it type contract. I think a lot of those guys make sense.
Yeah, those guys are all in the same group because they're all kind of 1 year, like $3 or $4 million guys. I'd say except for Logan Ryan, and maybe I'm just infatuated with this guy because I watched his YouTube package and checked out his highlights because there's a chance that he could actually land a Chief, but he's really good. And he had 4 interceptions and 4 forced fumbles last year and 120 tackles and played in every game. So I'm with you. All those other guys, Drake Kirkpatrick, Prince Amukamara, those guys might land a Chief. I'd be really excited if they got Logan Ryan.
Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll go to Keeping It When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong and another Tinder Tuesday. But first, let's talk some NFL free agency.
I think overall, when you think about the moves that have been made, every team has found themselves further away from the Chiefs than closer. What I'm saying is, if we think that after last season, most people would agree the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC and Baltimore's the second best team in the AFC, and Baltimore's had a really nice offseason, who's the third best team? I feel like everybody's getting further away. So Houston, they were pretty close. I mean, hell, they were up 24-0 at Arrowhead in a playoff game, and then they decided to trade DeAndre Hopkins. New England, I mean, they were pretty close. They were 11-1 at one point, and they probably should have been the 2 seed, and now they don't have Tom Brady. Indianapolis, I didn't think Indianapolis was that far if they made the right move at quarterback. You know how I feel about Phillip Rivers. I don't think that's the right move. I'm struggling to think of how many real threats they are to the Chiefs' crown in the AFC because I'm coming up with teams like Pittsburgh that might be the second closest to the tier when outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, you're higher on Pittsburgh than I am. I think there's a lot of uncertainty with Ben Roethlisberger and his health and just coming off the injury. I'm with you. There's only 2 tier one teams in the AFC. Out of the 16 teams in the conference, the only teams I think you can put on that tier one are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. And tier two, I think you can make a pretty strong case for about 10 teams. Like, there aren't many teams right now in the AFC that I don't think have any chance to make the playoffs next season. There's one team I feel like a for sure lock. I look at Kansas City in their division. I look at them as a for sure lock. I feel pretty strongly now, especially if there's going to be 7 teams that make the playoff that Baltimore is going to be one of the top seven teams in the AFC next year. But man, you really can make a case for 10 or 11 other teams. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see Denver grab one of those wild card spots. Wouldn't be shocked to see Miami grab one of those wild card spots. Wouldn't be shocked to see Oakland grab one of those wild card spots. Let's see what the Chargers do when it comes to their quarterback situation. They're a team that could go 9-7 next year. I feel like there's only two tier one teams in the AFC, and that's Kansas City and Baltimore. But that next tier of teams that you can make a strong case for to make the playoffs, you can make a case for, to me, 12 other teams.
What the hell happened? Because didn't it feel like for 15 years, yeah, Tom Brady was the GOAT. He was the best, but he was dealing with Indianapolis and Peyton Manning, or Denver and Peyton Manning, or Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger. I felt like for 15 years, the AFC had at least three, if not four or five, real threats. I'm with you, man. Right now, it's Kansas City, and I'm actually not as high on Baltimore as you are. I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh or somebody else ends up winning that division next year. I just think it's Kansas City and everybody else.
I mean, the balance has just shifted to the NFC. I mean, that's really what it is right now. If you look at the best quarterbacks in the NFL and you made a list of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't really think you'd have that many AFC quarterbacks at this point. You maybe have three, and you're not super high on Lamar Jackson. So if you're only going to have two of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL and you're going to put them in the AFC, that's what happened is the balance of power, at least at the quarterback position, has just shifted from the AFC where you had Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger, and it just shifted to the NFC.
Damn, I got my list in front of me, and you ain't lying. I got Pat at one. I got Deshaun Watson at three, and everybody else. I got Lamar Jackson at nine. It's from the NFC. So you're right. This is my list of my top 10 quarterback, which still include Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan. Seven are in the NFC.
I mean, the balance of power has just shifted from the AFC to the NFC, and that's why I think that league, at least at the top, is a lot stronger. And the AFC, there's one dominant team, and there's a lot of guys that you can throw in the pot like gumbo. Coming up on the other side, we'll play Tinder Tuesday, and we have yet another edition of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes, we will be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. We'll be on the show coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll also get to Tinder Tuesday and a brand spanking new Levine's List. Maybe some of you know this, but my favorite show is Chappelle's Show. It was a transcendent sketch comedy that, quite frankly, was ahead of its time. And one of my favorite bits on the Chappelle Show is a skit called
You're Watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
So since there was no third season of Chappelle's Show, I've decided in myself to make season three of When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong people that are playing around and joking with the coronavirus. We've had a lot of people on When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. If you remember, there were the brothers in Tennessee that bought $10,000 worth of hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes, and then they got shut down from eBay and Amazon and then had to donate the $10,000 worth of stuff that they were gouging people on.
I hate those guys more than I hate Carol Baskin. I really hate Carol Baskin.
If you remember, we also had Boris Johnson, who was the UK prime minister. He was on there on March 10th. He was talking about how he was going around and shaking people's hand and how he wasn't going to be scared of the coronavirus. 17 days later, he tested positive for the coronavirus. Maybe you guys remember this gentleman who we call COVID-19 kid.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. 2-3 months. So we're just out here having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
So he, like many other young people, were joking around with the coronavirus, didn't take it seriously. They had plans to go to Cabo or Cancun or South Padre Island or Daytona Beach, wherever kids are going to spring break. And us adults here, myself, you, Rob, we all said that wasn't a good idea. But you know what these kids decided to do?
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Sean, take a guess on how this story ends for little Corona Boy. Because when we first heard this a couple of weeks ago, we all said that doesn't sound very smart. It doesn't seem very safe. You and a bunch of hopped up, horny, sneezing, coughing, fever ridden kids all in the pool around each other, coughing, dancing to techno music. Sounded like a little corona incubator. It sounded like you were asking for the coronavirus. But you know what? Sometimes you got to let people learn on their own. Guess how this story ends for little Corona Boy?
I don't know what happens.
Austin public health officials say that more than 28 young adults who returned to Austin from a spring break trip to Cabo San Lucas have tested positive for the coronavirus, and dozens more are being monitored. Officials said Tuesday a group of about 70 people in their 20s departed on a chartered plane about a week and a half ago. Some of the attendees flew back on commercial flights. Four of those who tested positive showed no symptoms. Local health officials said Mexico was not under a federal travel advisory at the time of their travel, but again urged Austin and Travis County residents to avoid all non-essential travel. Nearly half of those who tested positive for COVID-19 are between 20 and 40 years old, city and county records show. Health officials said it was, quote, dangerously misguided for young and healthy people to think that they won't experience severe symptoms of COVID-19. For 610 Sports Radio, from the KMBZ Newsroom, I'm Sam Stevie.
Now, I am no doctor, I am no scientist, but part of the reason we are in the situation that we're in is some of you don't want to listen. The scientists like Dr. Fauci have been telling you guys for a month now what you need to do. Nobody can say a week and a half ago you didn't know that that wasn't smart. A week and a half ago, everything was shut down. We were just starting the stay-at-home order. We were just starting the crisis in New York. Sean, nobody can say 10 days ago they had no clue about the coronavirus. Maybe you could have said that on February 1st. We certainly didn't know how serious it was. But there's no way you can say on March 20th, when I read the story, some of these kids were flying down the Cabo and they were flying down to Daytona Beach to hang out and have a good time. None of them could say we didn't know. But no, little dirty Corona boy here just wanted to have a good time and YOLO and live life and want to sneeze and cough on everybody and get everybody sick. And now you know what we got to do? We got to stay at home because of selfish.
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Little Corona boy is ruining it for us all.
Don't you think we also have to question little Corona boy's parents at some point? I mean, come on, like, you got to step in. You got to be the corner man. And look, my parents let me go to the Up and Smoke tour. Have I ever told you that story?
You have?
Yeah, my parents let me go see Eminem and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg when we were like 17, 18 years old. They were like, yeah, cool, pile in a car with your friends in Chicago and go. So I understand that as parents, sometimes it's difficult to rein your kids in. But if you know what's going on and your kid has the opinion of, ah, well, whatever, we've been waiting. That kid said he's been waiting since January or February to go on spring break in March. Then you need to step in and be like, hey, idiot kid. I don't know about you, but when I was 17 years old and going on spring break my senior year, I was an idiot. If my parents wouldn't have stepped in, I would have done a lot of dumber things than I ended up doing. So at some point, it's also the job of the parents, because the truth is, in good times, those places are pretty nasty. Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, spring break. You ever been to Coconut CDOT, Lake of the Ozarks?
I've not.
A pool where something tells me there's a lot of, how shall I say, stuff going on. That right now, those have to be the nastiest places on planet Earth, period.
This is the thing about advice that I don't think we really factor in a lot. The advice is only as good as the person listening to the advice. Like, something tells me people tell Antonio Brown all the time to relax and stay off social media. Antonio Brown ain't trying to hear relax and stay off social media. I find it hard to believe that out of these 70 kids that went on this little Corona excursion, that not a single adult in them told them, hey, I don't think this is smart. I don't think you should do this. But we all were 18, 19, 20, 21. We felt like our parents didn't know a whole lot. We felt like we could do whatever we wanted and that we weren't going to be sick. And now you know what happened? You're coming back with the Rona because you didn't listen. Part of the reason this is spreading is people are not heeding the advice and the information given to us from the scientists. If you're not going to listen to them, you know what's probably going to happen. You're going to end up like little Corona boy here. And I don't want to end up like little Corona boy. And I don't want the coronavirus, because you nasty people can't listen to what Dr. Fauci has to tell us.
Something tells me if there were 70 of them that decided to still make the trip,
more of them probably got it. They just haven't tested them.
Oh, they all got it. You kidding me? I hate to break the news. Everybody in Cabo, everybody in Puerto Vallarta, everybody in Cancun, all these nasty places that are nasty when it's good. You're telling me that the last couple of weeks, those places haven't. You can't still go to those places, right? Like, if I don't, I understand that we couldn't. Like, we can't travel there right now. But Cancun's completely shut down right now, I'd imagine, right?
I don't know.
Puerto Vallarta's got to be an absolute ghost town, I would imagine. You can't tell me there are still people out. Like, I'm talking about today, that are chilling on the beach, drinking Mai Tais with their little umbrellas that are trying to hit on people of the opposite sex to take them back to their hotel room. Right now? That's still going on? No way.
That is just another example of...
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to a brand spanking new Levine's List. But first, it's Tuesday. So you know what that means? It's time for a Tender Tuesday. Hit it, Rob.
It's time for Tinder Tuesday on The Drive. Swipe right if you like it. Swipe left if you don't. Tinder Tuesday on The Drive.
So during the Super Bowl run, if you remember, C-Dot, I got real creative. I started calling it Super Bowl Contender. Remember that?
I do remember.
Well, then let's call this one Quarantender Tuesday. You like it?
It doesn't fit the same, okay. But I get it.
I appreciate your honesty. All right, Rob, we're swiping left and we're swiping right. C-Dot, you're up first. During the quarantine, how about you try to complete a game of Monopoly? Play a full game of Monopoly, which nobody in the history of the world has actually ever done.
Well, I would ask myself in this scenario, how many people are coming over to play Monopoly, and are we following the proper social distancing
rules? It's you and three of your friends.
If we're going to play.
Yeah, you and three of the homies playing
Monopoly. I don't think I've been in a situation where there's been more than four people since this whole thing has started. Like, I went to go eat a couple days ago at a place where you can, like, carry out, and there were seven people in there. I was like, no, I'll wait. I'll stand out here and wait until most of y'all are done, and then I'll come in line. So I haven't been in a place with four people outside of work since this whole thing has started. No, I'm not doing four. I'll do one, two, maybe. I'm not doing four. But yes, I love Monopoly. Monopoly is the greatest board game ever made.
No, it's not. But Battleship is, if that's considered a board game. Can you play Monopoly with two people? That sounds horrible. The fewest I've ever played with is four people.
I think you need at least three people to play Monopoly correctly.
I'm swiping left. Monopoly's overrated, first and foremost. Secondarily, has anyone ever enjoyed Monopoly and not gotten into a fight at some point when there isn't a quarantine? I'm not looking to get in a fight with my friends in these trying times. Swipe left.
All right, we swiping left or swiping right during the quarantine? How about camping outside in your backyard?
I wouldn't do this in quarantine time, peacetime, wartime, anytime. What part of y'all thought that I was going to be? What part makes you think that I'm going to leave my apartment and voluntarily sleep outside? No, I have no interest in doing this. None. Zero.
Well, you don't have a backyard, so that makes a lot of sense.
I don't care if I had a backyard, front yard. I'm never trying to purposely sleep outside.
So, regardless of yard or anywhere, it sounds like you're just highly against the idea of pitching a tent and camping out, period.
1,000,000%. Okay. Not 1,000%.
Okay.
Not 100,000%.
Have you tried it? Because oftentimes you knock stuff before you try it. I think you'd enjoy camping out.
You know who purposely sleeps outside? Crazy people. That's who does it. Crazy people. There's no person. Think about it. There's no person that has all the amenities that the inside and that the modern world would give you.
You understand there's an entire industry and giant stores that are made strictly for people that are interested in sleeping outside that sells this gear. Is this blowing your mind?
No, yeah. I mean, I know it exists. I mean, there's a lot of industries that are full of crazy people.
All right. Well, he's swiping the left, Rob. Camping out in your backyard.
It's like an echo chamber right here. Swiping left. Camping sucks. Stinks. Never, ever, ever, ever want to camp. And I don't want to do it now either. If I'm going to leave my home, it's a hotel, and I'm not doing that now. So no leaving the home. Swiping left.
All right. How about trying to learn a foreign language during quarantine? Do you speak a foreign language right now?
What? I'm supposed to be learning French during this time?
Je écoute plus. Je me fond de l'eau. Chouette l'eau. J'aime ça.
No. The answer is no.
Are we allowed to swear if it's in a foreign language? Because I might have.
Some of you are just way more ambitious if that's the case. I'm not saying that not a single person listening has done that before. But if you have taken this quarantine time and this time of social distancing, and the first idea that popped up in your head is, man, I've always wanted to learn French. I'm going to take this time to learn it. You're just a better human being than I am.
You don't think Rosetta Stone has picked up the last 10 or 12 days? You're crazy.
No, I'm just saying you're a better human being than I am. I'm not that person that is interested in doing that. If that's what you're interested in, I'm not going to knock it. It's probably a great life skill. It'd be a fantastic life skill to learn how to speak Spanish. When we were in Miami, if you learn how to speak Spanish, you always have a job. Rob, whenever we went to Miami for the Super Bowl, three consecutive people at Target I went to had no clue how to speak English, and they had to, like, direct me to another person that knew how to speak English. If you learn how to speak Spanish in this country, you're always going to be employed. I just don't have any interest at my age in learning another language.
Okay.
I don't even know if I've mastered the one that's my native tongue. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Well, I'm still trying to figure that out.
I'm pretty sure he's swiping to the left, Rob.
Oh, yeah, I'm swiping left. I think people cannot be this bored.
You guys aren't doing anything during this quarantine.
There's Netflix. There's movies. There's exercise. There's a million things to do before learning a foreign language.
I just want to point out that I'm sorry to cut you off, Rob, that Sean says we're not doing anything. Sean admitted to watching 300 UFC fights. You ain't doing nothing during this time.
At the same time, I was doing push-ups.
Okay.
For your information.
Were you learning French in this time,
yeah,
too?
Actually, yeah, okay. Was. And painting the house.
Sean has become some wine connoisseur during this time. Like,
I'm out of
here.
I'm the world's most interesting
get
man.
Get the hell out
okay,
of here.
Okay, I got one. By the way, did you know your boy speaks, not speaks, that's probably not the right way to put it. I know American Sign Language. How about this one? Watch all the films nominated for Best Oscar this year. Did I get you?
Oh, I would do that.
Okay.
I would do that.
All right.
I would do that. That's right up my alley. I've been watching movies nonstop. I watched a movie yesterday called The Platform.
Huh?
It's a Netflix movie. It's a good movie. I enjoyed The Platform. See, now you're talking my language.
Well, good movies now become great movies. Like, good documentaries like Tiger King become what people consider the best of all time right now, because we are dying for anything interesting right now.
I thought the Tiger King was interesting. I think it would have been interesting in sports time or non-sports
time. Well,
you've
never seen Blackfish. Blackfish is a better animal documentary, and it's not even that close in my opinion.
But yeah, this is right up my alley. This is what I'm into, watching movies during this time. Some of you are trying to fish and hunt and sleep outside, and no, I'm good. No thanks.
I'm also swiping right. I do this every year anyway. Because I'm a loser. I watched all 9 for this year's Academy Awards. Yes. Big time yes.
All right. How about bust out the old telescope and try to see the moon? Or Uranus? Perhaps. No space discovery for you?
Have you become Galileo during this time?
There's nothing to do, man.
Who
you got to
become Sir Isaac
creative.
Newton? Like, who have you turned into during right. this time? You have a telescope. Come on now.
I actually do have a telescope.
And you sit outside.
No,
and
I never used it.
Okay, but you have a telescope, and it's set up, and you go outside
nobody
and
uses,
look at the constellations.
Nobody uses a telescope. I think a lot of people have a telescope.
Okay. All right.
Maybe not a lot of people.
I had no clue you become Ned Yost during this time.
15% of people
no
listening right now have a telescope, I bet.
I just didn't know that you would become Larry the Cable Guy during this time. I had no clue.
This is the time.
Jeff Foxworthy over there.
When you start pulling out stuff that you otherwise wouldn't. All right. How about rearranging the furniture? Make you feel like you're in a brand new house.
No.
Okay.
I'd be willing to do that. I haven't, but I'd be willing to.
How about
more than going outside with the constellations?
Try to play an old.
I mean, I will say, if I had to choose between those two,
just throwing out ideas
I'm just
here,
saying,
man.
I'm just saying, if I had to choose between those two and rearranging my living room or turning into Galileo, I'd much rather make sure that the feng shui is right in the apartment. I'd much rather do that.
What about picking up an old instrument? Do you ever play an instrument? What about the recorder?
I actually, in fourth grade, I learned how to play the violin. It just seemed like a really cool thing to play. In sixth grade,
seemed like a really cool thing to play.
It did. It seemed like a cool instrument to play. In sixth grade, I played the French horn. And then I realized, like, I just didn't have the diligence. I just didn't care enough to really be good at playing an instrument. So I quit. But I've always wanted to learn how to play the piano. Now, I'm not going to do the work it would take to learn how to play the piano, but I would do that.
We're some very worldly fellas here. I know American Sign Language used to play the French horn. Who
I did
knew?
In sixth grade.
Who knew? I know you're going to want to do this one. Rewatch another kid's movie from back in the day. Like, there are a bunch of movies that I only watch once that I feel like going back and watching again.
I watched Little Giants over the weekend.
Still as good as it was the first time?
No, it's not as good, but it was fine. It was enjoyable. It was a good 12:30. I was going to fall asleep anyway. It was on the IMDb TV. Yeah. Yeah, so I watched like half of it and went to sleep, and I finished it in the morning.
There's a bunch of movies, though, that I remember watching once as a kid that I want to go back and watch. Hook? Did you ever watch Hook?
I've never seen Hook before.
Free Willy. You ever see Free Willy?
I saw it back in the day. I haven't seen it in a while, though.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch that one. Something tells me I'm going to find it really corny. And Homeward Bound. I watched that one time, and I feel like going back and watching that again.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we will be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. Text line 69306. CDOT, you have an open invitation to go turkey hunting with me. I'll film and do all the hard work. You have the wrong verb in there. You have the right idea. Hunting? No. Turkey eating? I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to let you do all the hard work. And then when it's time for the enjoyable part of it, I'm happy to eat.
How do you know you don't like this stuff? Like, it's one thing if you're like a PETA and you're against the killing, then that's fine. But I feel like you just don't want to experience new things. You're very set in your own ways. You're very comfortable. Something tells me you would enjoy it.
Shooting a turkey?
How about taking out a bow and arrow and getting quail?
What am I doing, my Link from Zelda now? I'm Bo Jackson.
Times are very different, man.
The harder weapon.
What is this? It ain't the Hunger Games outside.
Actually, yes, it is.
It's the Hunger Games?
Look outside, all right? It's a different era that we're in right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Polish off the bow and arrow.
You're right. I didn't know that all of a sudden I had to reenact like I was living in Game of Thrones. Like I turned into Arya Stark all of a sudden. I didn't know it was that. It ain't that hard outside. I know it's hard.
About 2 weeks away from that, dude.
Yeah,
I
know it's hard outside. I didn't know it got that hard outside all of a sudden. I didn't know that I had to turn into the Hound from Game of Thrones over the last 2 weeks that I had to prepare for the apocalypse. Because if that's the case, I'm going to die. I mean, I've accepted that. If that's the way this is turning, where I need to have those available skills to me, that I'm going to die in that scenario. What? I shot a gun one time, and I never want to shoot another gun. Okay. I told you, my friend, he actually works for the Missouri Department of Conservation. We went to his house. We shot guns for a whole weekend.
In his house?
Outside his backyard. He had like a big backyard. We shot guns. I shot a tree, and I realized the power of guns. I had no interest in it. So, no, I have no interest in walking outside, seeing this animal that's minding its business, and now I just pull up with the shoddy and, blam, just start shooting the animal for no reason.
Okay,
I'm going to die in this scenario.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to die. You guys go turkey hunting. I go to Hy-Vee, and I get the butterball turkey. What are two different people in this context?
Okay.
Two different people.
All right, fine.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas. But first, let's get to a brand spanking new Levine's List.
Levine's List. Yesterday, we did the best crying scenes in sports movies. Or was that just movies in general?
It was just what's the saddest movie or moment in a sports movie.
Maybe think of today's Levine's List, the best yelling scenes in movies. Number 10, you ever seen Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah, a long time.
Dominic. It's not a tumor. When he tells the kids to shut up and it just reverberates, you have to see the movie to understand what I'm saying. You ever seen the movie 300?
Yeah, of course.
This is Sparta. Of course you've seen that. Number 8, something from Happy Gilmore, either when he's yelling for the ball to go to your home or his famous fight scene with Bob Barker. At number 7, Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Number 6, Tom Hanks, I can't remember his name in the movie. There's no crying in baseball. I guess he wasn't really yelling. He was more just vocalizing.
He was speaking very sternly.
Very sternly, yeah. That's what I would say. Do we know his name in that movie?
I've never really seen the movie. I've seen parts of it, but I've never sat down and watched from start to finish.
Titanic. I am the king of the world. Number 4, Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Number 3, A Few Good Men. The truth? You can't handle the truth. Number 2, Braveheart. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. And number 1, Castaway. When he loses Wilson and just starts yelling, I'm sorry, Wilson. I'm sorry. And that's today's Levine's List.
Coming up, we will be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, joins the show next. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.